Welcome to the FAM Podcast. We're here for another episode where we're diving into the movement drivetrain. So glad to have my co-host, Derek Schuessler, FAM's Director of Mobilization, ready to get in for another exciting episode on pushing through those gears of the movement drivetrain and getting to today's, and its final in the series, element of the drivetrain where we focus on the resource engine.
Yeah, so it's the last episode of this series, yeah. Like I said, and we're coming up to how do we rev up our engine, resource engine, to go after that big vision that God has put before you.
That's exactly right. That's what we're desiring for our team, and we're kind of taking this podcast to share how we're doing that, and we want it for the team and the efforts and the opportunities for all of our listeners and those who join us on the podcast to seize the day, seize the moment for that kingdom movement opportunity. So, Derek, before we get into the particular lesson today in this episode, let's just kind of, like we say, go through the gears of the drivetrain, see if we can go through all five of them leading to the sixth one, see if we can make it through processing through the gears without grinding them, and see if you can take us through that. I'll go along with you.
I learned how to drive stick shift, so I understand what you're saying. So we got the proper mindset. We got to start with mindset.
That's gear
proper
one.
Mindset. Then we go down to team dynamic.
Okay, put it into gear two.
Up to reproducible disciple making.
Now we're in high gear. We're
process.
Moving.
Yep. Okay. Go to scale strategy.
Yep, kicked it up a notch.
And then the one we talked about last time, the essential communication method.
And that's where we talked about in the last episode, putting it into overdrive with your essential communication. Now, when we have all these things at play and working, we've considered them. When we shift into that last gear, it's like pushing the nitrous button. When we get into the sixth and the final element of FAM's drivetrain, how do we take the horsepower that we have, which is the body of Christ empowered by the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and get it producing great commission outputs, right, where the rubber meets the road. How we do that is all these gears of the drivetrain, including the sixth and final one that we're going to be talking about today, which is understanding the need to have, allocate, and implement the adequate resource engine to get the job done. I mean, I can't stress how important it is to know that before we take off in it, we have the resources dedicated, a resource engine to drive to completion to the fullest extent we can for the dream God's placed in front of us.
Yeah, so I know if people are like me, they hear resource engine and they're thinking money, 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 money.
Yeah, you're right.
That's where your mind goes. But I know from experience and from just being under you and your teaching that resource engine does not just mean money.
So much more. When we define a resource engine, especially when we're thinking about the drivetrain and how to get postured to go after that kingdom movement opportunity, we define a resource engine as the necessary elements of divine resources, human resources, intellectual resources, and financial resources that empower us to go after the kingdom movement opportunity and see it through to completion.
Yeah, so there were four distinct elements that I want our listeners to make sure
you
that they don't just gloss over.
That.
Yeah. So it's divine resources, human resources, intellectual, and then financial resources.
Exactly right.
So why don't we define what each of those four means?
Yeah, when we say divine resources, what do we mean? I mean, these are the nature and character of God. These are the attributes of God that flow from Him and flood our harvest field as divine resources, the things that only He can do. We can't produce these things, but what we can do is avail ourselves of them and realize divine resources are at play, and it is on us to understand it's not what we can accomplish here, but tapping into the divine resources and seeing them at work in our life and through our life to impact the communities we're seeking to serve. So that's what I mean by divine resources.
Okay.
A case in point, when we look at Acts chapter 3 in this, is there was a need at hand. And a man was sitting out in front of Solomon's porch, and he perceived his need, and it was financial and physical.
Yeah.
But what he didn't know, that God knew and was ready to allocate that resource, and what Peter and John were, with wisdom, able to perceive and have the faith to step out into is, this man perceives a human need. But what is actually needed is a divine resource of healing and restoration physically and spiritually that's going to spark a greater movement among the population that's around it. Right. So there was a divine resource God was ready to allocate. There was people that had the faith to tap into it, and it met a real human need, right, in that occasion. Yeah. So divine resources at play. Second one we consider is human resources. All right, these are the people. I mean, God works through people. He wants to use his people, like I said earlier, working in them and through him. And back to the Acts 3 story, the people that God used were Peter and John.
Yeah.
They could have chosen to meet a human need through human resources. But being filled with God's Spirit, desiring to see the kingdom movement opportunity lived out fully in Jerusalem where they were at the time, they said, man, we need to be conscious of how us as a human resource are tapping in and leveraging the divine resource to get the job done. Mm. So then we move on to the intellectual resource. And what we mean by that is the innovation, the creativity that's going to be at play, the wisdom that's going to be restored, the imagination that's going to be necessary. And we see Peter and John in Acts 3 falling back in that. They had to lean on their own intellect when the pressure came from the religious leaders. Yeah. Who has done this? And they had to stand up and face the same people who had just executed Jesus that now were breathing threats against them. They stepped into Solomon's porch, put all the glory on God, fell on their wisdom, and were able to see a greater movement take place. So then we move on to the financial resources. And the financial resource component we see in this is that this case, the man was looking for a financial resource. Yeah. That was not what was needed. But Peter and John, if you remember, they said, silver and gold we do not have.
Yeah.
But what we do have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus. Mm. And so they met that need that time with others. But we see that financial need, financial resources, something to be considered. In this case, it wasn't needed. Mm. But we're going to find out as we move later on this lesson that financial resources are a fourth or 25% makeup of the component of your total resource engine to go after that kingdom movement opportunity.
Yeah. So how and when did you start thinking of the resource engine in this way, the four components? How did you start thinking of it this way?
Yeah, I tell you, back a long time ago, pre-fam, Brooke and I had started off to plant a church. And we were actually, I don't know what we were thinking, but we went back to our hometown to plant a church. And I think I was in my late 20s and we had one daughter. So I was probably about 26 or something like that.
So you knew it all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew it all, yeah. And we took off, you know, and when we went to plant this church, I thought, man, I have acquired a war chest of resources to plant this church. I couldn't imagine anybody would ever need more resources to plant a church than the resources that I have. I mean, I have $17,000 in my bank account as the war chest to start this church. Who could ever?
Yeah.
And I mean, I have me and Brooke. I mean, that's all the human resource I needed. And we made a commitment to only plant it among unchurched and lost people. We wouldn't accept any church transfers or anything like that. So as you can imagine, our offerings were pretty low. But so who could need any more than this? Well, make a long story short, it didn't go very well. Huh. Now, there were some spiritual, some development, some experience issues that I had that I was just inadequate for the job. But when I look back at it, there was a lot of things we did well. We were reaching a ton of people. A lot of our family came to Christ and grew in the Lord, and we were reaching people in the community. And we had a little bit of growth that was coming alongside of it. But I think when I look back on the failure of that church plant, which we dissolved it didn't exist after 2 years, it was really that the resource engine played so much into it.
Mm.
We had just enough money to get us in trouble where I had to work three jobs and, you know, we had a second child in the way. We were, you know, and all kinds of debt was building up around our lives. But given it everything we had. So years later, carrying, you know, a sense of failure and a lot of regret and a little bit of shame on it. It's kind of like a black mark on my record.
Yeah.
We tried to start this church and failed. Really, we just had to abandon it because our resource engine was so depleted, we couldn't sustain life to go after the opportunity.
Yes, yeah, so you said you took a lot of guilt on that?
Oh, yeah, big time, and carried it
shame.
For years. And years later, many years later, I was working with the church planter up north, good friend of mine, planted a really awesome church up there. And when they were there helping him, we were kind of there on the second leg of it. And we were sitting around talking one day, and I'm like, man, thinking about my own sense of failure and the success this guy's having. I said, man, what? How much resources, human resources, and I knew he had a lot of intellectual, and I knew he knew how to tap into the divine. So I was like, what kind of human resources, what kind of financial resource did you have to plant this church? And he kind of scratched his chin a little bit, and he's like, oh, let me think. We had like 5 full-time paid staff and $300,000 to plant the church. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been carrying around all this guilt and failure trying to plant this church for $17,000, and you're up here with $300,000 and 5 teammates? Mm. And he's like, oh, dude, I don't know how in the world you would even attempt to do this.
Begin, yeah.
With $17,000. And that's kind of where I got to thinking about, wow, we lit out to a fight. We weren't equipped and resourced to win or even sustain long enough to get over some of the first early hurdles in all the journey we were going to have to go through. I could say we were set up for failure because of an inadequate resource engine to get the job done and sustain it and get it to where it could be something that would stand on its own and sustain a team or anything like that.
Yeah.
We really set up for failure right off the bat.
So from what I know about the FAM journey, especially in regards to the resource engine, is we have not always had the same level of resources coming into FAM. And so how have you kept that dream alive through the ups and downs of our resource engine?
Absolutely. You know, what we did was to keep all 4 elements of the resource engine in our mind, not get just fixated on money or fixated on the manpower that we had, but to keep all 4 elements at place and in their proper level so we could truly go after the dream like it all depended on God, not on money. Mm. You know, like on the human resources side, there was a time when the team was Brooke and I, and I remember just crying out to God and saying, Lord, if we're really going to see this dream become a reality, it's got to be bigger on the human resource side than just me or a couple of interns for a short season or a couple of guys that were helping out volunteering that aren't around anymore. And I remember crying out to God and just saying, Lord, would you bring full-grown men and women, I mean mature, godly adults that would come and put their toe on the line with Brooke and I, stand shoulder to shoulder with us to pursue this dream for a lifetime. Lord, would you give us that? And, you know, by God's grace, that's where we're at today. And he's providing and continues to provide the human resources necessary for FAM to be in that best posture. Well, it's not just human resources, right? There's the intellectual and financial resources too. And on the financial side, man, I remember when we were about to train our first 40 leaders. I think it was right when you showed up.
Yeah.
And we were at a spot in ministry where it's like we've never had as much ministry opportunity before us as we ever have. And we've never been so depleted in resources at the same time. Sort of saying, Lord, if you're going to really allow us to pursue this dream in its fullness, as you've laid it out before us, the resource engine, the financial side of the resource engine is going to have to grow. But in that, we had to make some decisions where we didn't just look at the current level of finances. We had to lean in to the divine resources during that time. So we said, okay, the human resources are aligned. The intellectual resources there, a training environment and resources being created. We have 40 leaders ready to be trained. We've been praying about it. We feel the Lord's leading us into it. The only thing that's missing is the financial resource side. But we did have it. That's the funny part of the story. It was going to cost me about $600 to train those 40 leaders for the period of time we were going to train them. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to my wife. She was in our little kitchen in our apartment making spaghetti. And I go into my wife and I'm like, you know, I'm always in sales mode. So I'm like, hey, honey, here's what we have. We have this opportunity to catch this wave of momentum and maybe end our first year with a lot of good points on the board of making disciples and advancing. But to do that, we've got to train these 40 leaders, get them ready for the other stuff that's going to tip and catch that momentum of the snowball rolling downhill. But in order to do that, I'm going to be able to put a tank of gas in the car. I'm going to be able to put some food in the fridge and pantry. And then I'm going to need every penny that we have to our name to train these leaders. And that means taking us below the death line financially to get the job done. And when I kind of made my pitch and she's just whipping up spaghetti, it's so amazing how she does. Derek, she didn't eat it. I think you probably ate that spaghetti.
I did.
But she didn't even look up. I mean, seriously, it wasn't like you getting the calculator out or checking the QuickBooks. She didn't even flinch. She just kept whipping that spaghetti up, and she just looked at me and kind of looked and said, train them. Do whatever you have to do. Take us to the financial death line if that's necessary to pursue the kingdom movement opportunity we had. And, you know, there was no promise that any extra financial resources were going to come in. But Brooke and I had to take a step of faith in the divine resource engine, in the human resource engine. We made an investment into the human side of it and believed in the intellectual resources and trusting the finances will be there to catch up with the rest of the mission. And you know, it's so funny. We made a $600 investment, and I actually had to borrow $200 to keep gas in the tank, keep eating the rest of the month from you interns. But by the end of the month, I don't know if you knew this, but over $50,000 came into the ministry by the end of the month. But we had to take a risk.
Yeah.
And don't pursue the vision as if it all depended on money, but keep all four elements of the resource engine at play and pursue the vision like it all depends on God.
That's good. So I want to shift gears here to see how this concept of a resource engine, having a resource engine, is that in Scripture? How do we see it in Scripture?
Oh, yeah. We see it many places. One particular place, just to hone in on for this episode, comes straight from Jesus out of Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 33, gives us a real clear picture of the concept of the resource engine at play when we pursue a kingdom movement opportunity.
Okay, so let me read that, and then after I read it, we'll get your insight into how you see that play out.
Okay.
So it's Luke 14, 25 through 33. So large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples."
Now, when I hear this scripture, I see Jesus addressing the direct implication of the cost of discipleship. And when we think about this teaching in light of having a resource engine to pursue the kingdom movement opportunity, just as there is a cost of being a disciple, there is a need for resources to make disciples. So as a point of application, we take these two analogies that Jesus gave and apply that to ourselves. We're looking at building something, building into that vision, figuratively. We're looking at going to war against the kingdom of darkness, right? Figuratively and literally, right? So we're looking at these things and say, there's a cost of being a disciple. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. But let's take this in an application. There is a cost to making disciples. There are resources necessary to making disciples. And before I go into that project, before I go in to face that opponent, let me count the cost, align, redistribute, and allocate the appropriate resources necessary to come to a victorious end. As a strategist, as a leader, for all of us who'd be listening, they're in that key seat. That is our responsibility of not just stewardship, but of strategically allocating resources and getting everything aligned to step into the battlefield of a kingdom movement and say, we have the adequate resources to go to battle, to sustain battle, and stay in the fight till we get the job done. You know, and I teach this lesson to several teams, and when we start opening up this lesson, many times they're like, we have all the resources we need. Resources isn't a problem until we start to get deeper into the lesson and start saying, okay, it's more than just money, all right? It's tapping into the divine. It's the allocation of human resources. It's seeing what is available, and when we start to peel the onion back on our four levels, that's when they start to look and say, okay, if we're really going to pursue this big vision that God's laid out for us, when we look at our resource engine and its availability, we may not be as resourced as we think we are to pursue that big dream.
So help our listeners really understand what you mean here.
Yeah. You know, the human resources, the people that you have only have so much time. And when a leadership team comes around and God starts to reveal vision as we're fasting, as we're praying, we start getting a dream for a community, for a people group, for something that's outside the normal. And we look, okay, it's going to take people to do that. It's going to take time to do that. It's going to take energy to do that. It's going to take money to do that. It's going to take other intellectual resources applied to do that. And then we start saying, oh, wait a second. I can't send 25 people that are qualified small group leaders to go into lostness in their communities and start outreach Bible studies because they're already busy leading a Bible study for Christians week by week back at the church or leading a Sunday school class. Not that these things are bad or wrong. It's just the status quo of what we're already doing is consuming our available resource engine. And we think about the time, energy, effort, money it would take to carve that out and set it aside to go pursue this big dream that's outside of the status quo, we realize the status quo is not going to give up any of it and self-sustain. So we find ourselves saying, I can't pursue this opportunity because all my resources are allocated to maintaining what I'm already doing, right? So what happens is that big dream, that big vision, as we like to call it, the kingdom movement opportunity, it gets put up on the shelf as a relic of what could have been and never realized.
So what can a team do if they're seeing this kingdom movement opportunity, they don't want to fall down that path where there's regret or there's missed opportunity, missed dream. They want to pursue that kingdom movement opportunity. So they see it before them, they're reassessing if they have the adequate resource engine to pursue it properly, what can they do?
Yeah, first question to ask is, okay, how much of my current resource engine is used to maintain the status quo? Yeah. And when you ask that question, you have to keep all four elements of the resource engine in your mind. You have to consider our ability to tap into the divine, our access to that, our knowledge to do that, our willingness to do that, the people in our body that are mature enough, that really focused on
that. Human resources.
Yeah, and then we get into the human resources. How many of the people we have are already using up their time they're going to give for this kind of thing inside the status quo? So how much of the status quo is consuming my resource engine across all elements, even the budget? You know, Kingdom Movement Opportunity is going to have a budget attached to it. And you're like, all of our allocation and our financial resources are in the status quo and taking care of our debt.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have extra income to go after. So something's going to have to give. So first thing a team's going to have to do, how much of my current resource engine is locked up in maintaining the status quo? Second question to ask, how much resource engine will be necessary to go after your Kingdom Movement Opportunity? Hey, this is the volume of people we're going to do to apply to it. This is the time, effort, energy. This is the talent that's going to have to be acquired and set apart to be able to focus on the uniqueness of this opportunity. This is the financial resources that it's going to take to go after. This is the line item cost of pursuing this new budget. So we've looked at how much of our resource engine is consumed by the status quo. Mm-hmm. All right. How much resource engine we have to build to go after the opportunity. And we look at those two things. Then we're going to see, are we in deficit?
Yeah.
Right? Do we have any available resource? What are the shortcomings here?
Yeah, imagining most of the churches we talk to or the people going after this, they're going to be a shortfall. It's not, oh, yeah, we have excess in this case, so we can go after it.
But, I believe that's true.
Yeah.
And I'll even say this. If there was a surplus, they're going to be like, yeah, we can afford it. Hmm. We can put the money on it. But what we're going to see is there's going to be a deficit. There's going to be a shortfall in the human resource, in the intellectual resource to carve out. The best and brightest are already maxed out.
Yeah.
The people you have available to put on things, you're already using them to the full. It's not like you have a bank of highly qualified, skilled people pursuing a vision that are sitting there twiddling their thumbs.
Sure.
Right? So there's no gaps for that. So in that, we have money we can throw at it. We have money we can put on it. But this is a unique and great teaching opportunity to put on this, is that all the money in the world won't produce a kingdom movement.
Yeah.
You could have the coffers full, but you can't buy a kingdom movement. They're a work of the Holy Spirit. They're a work that God does through his people. As Warren Wiersbe would say, when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. And you can't buy that. If the status quo is consuming, right, and you know your kingdom moving opportunity is going to take its own resource engine, it might seem like, well, then we can't pursue them. They're going on the relic shelf, get dusty and say what might have been. But here's the thing. The third question is where it's going to help us. But the third question's tough. The third question causes you to dig. The third question causes you to have to grapple and wrestle to say, is this God's preferred future for us? And if it is, then slay all the sacred cows, burn down all the silos, and let nothing stand in our way. And the third question is going to get you there, and here it is. What resources do we need to develop to go after that kingdom moving opportunity? What resources do we need to reallocate, which could be tougher than developing, right, to go after that opportunity? What resources need to be repurposed to be obedient to God's vision for us? So what might feel like impossible, and I see teams go at it time after time after time, we can't do it.
Yeah.
We wanted to do it. We hoped to do it. Dreams came up and were shot down because they fail to ask and answer the third question. Yeah. So for FAM, we've been blessed. Our mission is narrow. We don't allow a lot of fluff to come in at all. We stay focused on mission. So we rarely have to get into question number one. But the older we get and the more success that comes our way, and when God walks us through a process of redreaming the dream, we have to look again and again at our resource engine. And for transparency, FAM's in a process right now where we're going 10X in our ministry, and it's challenging everything. As our team was working on this year's budget and even laying out a four-year high-level look at things, we had to take a big look, and I can see in watching that chart of growth, I can see where the status quo in 2025 could be a juggernaut that would hold us back. And our status quo is going to be consuming a huge resource engine. We're going to have to redream the dream and start asking the questions of development, reallocation, repurposing to continue to be obedient to the vision God's given us. So no one's immune from it, and you're going to have to revisit it time after time. You can't live in the glory days, right?
I know we had one of those moments in FAM's history when we had that first breakthrough. So I think that would be a good story to tell about how we had to reallocate, rethink that.
You betcha. You know, because the way you answer these questions, it gives you insight into how well you're going to be postured for the viability of your kingdom movement opportunity. That's where we were. We were early in the ministry. Everything was about the current work in the Middle East. We had low overhead. The whole team was focused. There were no side trails or anything like that. We were just grinding it out, going after our thing. And then this kingdom movement opportunity came up. The intellectual resource of it was the strategic components of the breakthrough strategy, how we go to scale. Yeah. It was the first time it ever came up. The human resource of it was a highly qualified, highly motivated individual that had bought into our vision, was ready to be sent back to his home and lead the breakthrough strategy in his state in South Asia. The divine resources, we were still trying to figure out, but we're praying, we're fasting, we're sensing God has this opportunity for us. But what was lacking was the financial resources. And I was a little bit from the status quo. Everything was going into that one project. I didn't want to take on extra overhead, the responsibility of a man, his family. We were going to grow a team that would be four times larger over there than we had in the status quo that we had to maintain. And so what we did is we dropped back and said, okay, let's open our hands up. Let's prepare ourselves to tap into the divine and say, God, what is your preferred future for our life? The human resources lined up. The intellectual resources are there. We felt God's leadership. So what we did is, with much prayer, we weren't in any way we could go talk to people about it from where we lived. So we just sent out emails to about 25 people and said, this is how much money we need to raise up in this amount of time to acquire the financial aspect of the resource engine to align with the other three elements so we can go to war and hope for a great outcome. And Derek, within 2 weeks, the money that we were asking for, that we said, this is the amount that we need to successfully go after this vision, it had all been raised within a 2-week window. And we said, okay, that's it. Now it's time. Let's hit it. Let's go for it. And we went to work in the fields. And by God's grace, a kingdom movement opportunity was realized in that place. And really, so much more than that. And then help us turn the tide and created a whole new way for FAM that we're currently in right now with our go to scale strategy.
Yeah. Okay, KP, before we wrap this up, what advice would you give anybody or any team who's thinking about revving up their resource engine to go to scale, to do all these things we're talking about? What advice would you give
them? Yeah. First, I would say, as a leader and in any position on the team, but particularly the top-level leader, work to understand the unique aspect of the resource engine that only you can bring. Work to understand that. Once you understand, okay, what I bring to the table that no one else can, once you understand that, this is the part of the resource engine I contribute mostly, whether it's what primarily whatever in that category of the four. Once you figure that out, then don't let anything rob you or your team or the movement of that aspect. Keep it as sacred and make sure that it's getting applied because only you can deliver it, right? Second thing I would say to a team is develop your ability to avail yourself of divine resources. I mean, grow in your capacity of prayer, of understanding and utilizing of spiritual gifts. These are divine resources, but how do we live and flow and work out of our spiritual gifts, not just our physical gifts? Right. Then the spiritual warfare component, that how do we go to war to disrupt the kingdom of darkness and availing ourselves of these tools in our harvest fields? And the divine resource of faith. How do we have big faith and apply ourselves and lean in with faith even when the odds seem stacked against us?
Yeah, that's having that abundance mentality that we talk about a lot. Instead of putting it up on that shelf, you have the abundance mentality that, that the Lord's resources are enough for that and go after it. You say the verse a lot, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit as the Lord of hosts. Yeah.
And that's the kind of faith that it's going to take. And I love how you said that. Not living in a scarcity mentality, but the faith to be, have an abundance mentality and open-handedly pursue that. Man, that's tapping into divine, not just on the warfare side, but even the internal development side of tapping into the divine. Last thing I would say to a team is develop your understanding, a good, rich, deep understanding of all the elements of a resource engine so that you can best allocate them.
So like human resources.
Yeah. Saying, okay, we understand the component of the human resource. We need to get the right people on the bus, get them in the right seat, and get them going in the right direction.
So the intellectual resources, what does that look like?
Yeah, it's fostering the creativity that's going to be necessary. It's giving room for the imagination that's going to be necessary to go after it, to make sure that that wisdom is heard and there's a place at the table for wisdom to prevail. That's not just from the top leader. That's being shared in a 360-degree angle on it so that it prevails and it's heard so that we're going after this, leveraging all the intellectual resources God has brought to the team and the table.
And then finally, the financial resources. What does that look like?
Yeah, you know, it's not just about how much money can I get, but really it's saying, okay, we need to really hone our skills as stewards who know how to do a lot with a little and know how to appropriately do a lot with a lot. There's some kingdom movement opportunities where it's like, hey, we're lean and mean. We've got to get a lot done with a little. But there's some opportunities where we have to hone our skills of saying, how do we execute the proper stewardship to go after a big dream that's going to take a lot of resources and not just throw money at it? We all know that can produce more problems than it solves. But how do we use strategic spending and the allocation of appropriate resources to keep us as hot on pursuing that kingdom movement opportunity as possible? Hey, Derek, here's what I'm hoping for the guys that watch the podcast today. I'm hoping that they get a deep understanding, right, of really what it takes to acquire and allocate a resource engine that's going to help them pursue the big dream that God's put on their heart. I thank God for the resource engine that FAM has been given, and we're seeking to be good stewards of it. And I pray that that is translated and it goes on to every team and every individual that's participated in our podcast today. We can never underestimate the power of a God-given, properly allocated, and executed resource engine to prepare you to get in the best posture to go after the big vision, that kingdom movement opportunity that God's placed before you. And I pray that God would meet every need that you have according to his riches and glory to go after that big vision he's laid before you. Thanks for tuning in. Now go and be dangerous for Jesus.